extra time for questions podcast. Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to the very first Festival of the Spoken Nerd Extra Time for Questions podcast. We're very pleased to have you listening. My name is Helen Arney.
I'm Matt Parker.
And I'm Steve Mould.
And the problem with doing a podcast that we've realised is, by definition, we're now just three disembodied voices. So to give you some kind of a reference frame as to who is who, we're going to introduce ourselves and flag up some ways you can identify our voices.
Okay, so Matt Parker is the man you were just listening to there. It's the Aussie voice in the group. What to say about Matt Parker? Well, he is a stand-up mathematician. He writes about maths for The Guardian. He is a regular on the Infinite Monkey Cage podcast and appears in the live Uncaged Monkeys tour and various things like that. He was once described by a journalist as a mega mathematician.
Yeah, which is apparently 1 million regular mathematicians.
That's right, that's
I'm
right.
Glad you introduced me in this podcast using a different podcast. Should I ever do a future podcast, I get them to reference this one.
Absolutely.
That's, anyway, thank you very much. I'm going to introduce, in turn, Helen Arney.
Thank you.
Who is the only female voice you'll be hearing. And if you hear any ukulele-based noises, we can almost guarantee that that's coming from Helen, not from us, because she is the UK's premier female stand-up musical physicist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a very big set of one. But within that set, I mean, she's done all sorts of amazing stage work and radio and the work. She's absolutely excelled herself, which is appropriate because she's the only one in the set to excel. Absolutely amazing, Helen Arney.
Thank you very much. And it's up to me now to introduce Steve Mould. He is the one who is neither female nor Australian. And he is you may have seen him on Blue Peter doing science experiments. You may have seen him as one half of Mould and Arrowsmith, the sketch group. You have to guess which half he is.
Jim
Arrowsmith.
The first half.
Yeah, he's the first half. And he has also appeared on exciting, extraordinary things, communicating science to people and other stuff. He's an all-round top man. Mr. Steve Mould.
Top man.
But during our live shows, we like to introduce each other according to the theme of the show. We won't explain what the theme is. Perhaps you can guess it by our introductions, which was where we introduced ourselves according to our favourite fruit and wine.
My favourite fruit is the orange, because they're fun to pack. That's the whole sentence, right? Okay. No, because in maths there's a whole area of grocery packing problems involving spheres, and in fact it was quite recent that we managed to prove the most efficient way to pack oranges in three dimensions. 24 dimensional oranges are much easier to pack, and there's a wonderful area of maths in minimal wrapping problems. And so that's
is your favourite fruit a 24 dimensional orange?
Yes.
Which is a little indication of what my favourite fruit is, because I prefer things a little bit smaller. You might know I play the ukulele rather than the guitar. So as I knew that Matt was going to choose the 24-dimensional orange, I chose the mere 3-dimensional clementine. So that is my favourite fruit, because it's like that, but a bit smaller. You get more to the pound. I think it's a bargain.
Instead of doing fruit, I'm going to do vegetable. My favourite vegetable is the tomato. What? Pardon me? Do you know what? It's not my favourite. It's not my favourite vegetable. I just say it is because I like baiting pedants. but interestingly, it is a fruit, but it's also a vegetable because a vegetable is any edible part of a plant that includes fruit. Here, that is explained on an Euler diagram. So there you go. That's why my favourite.
So you can probably tell from that clip that we do a live show together. It's called Festival of the Spoken Nerd. You can find out where to get tickets from our website, festivalofthespokennerd.com. We do it about once a month, and it is a lot of fun.
And because I like self-referential sentences, you can actually download the podcast you're listening to right now from the same website. It should come as no surprise that given we have a celebration of science and geekiness, we have a very strong online presence, and you can go there and complain and talk about the show.
You can get it from iTunes as well, so check it out there if that's your preference. The live shows are themed, and the last theme was, it was called One of Your Five a Day, and it was about things that are good for you and things that are bad for you.
Are you worried about health? Don't know whether you can trust what you read in the newspaper? Well, I'm not surprised. Wine prevents cancer, The Guardian. Wine causes cancer, The Telegraph. Wine causes and prevents cancer, The Daily Mail. Broccoli prevents heart disease, The Guardian. Broccoli causes paedophiles, Daily Mail. Broccoli can be served on this Lady Diana commemorative plate for just $29.99, The Daily Telegraph. No wonder you don't know what to believe. That's why you need Festival of the Spoken Nerd.
So why would you listen to the podcast if you've been to the live show? And why would you go to the live show if you're enjoying this podcast? Well, we have a policy during the live shows, which is that there's always time for questions.
It's almost
at the end.
Founding principle.
It's a founding principle.
It's an axiom, if anything.
But it never works because we always run out of time.
Yeah.
And so that's what this podcast is. It's a bit of an exploration. It's an opportunity to answer more questions and go into more depth.
Because we get a lot of questions during the show that people tweet.
You can tweet us right now at FOTSN, which is an acronym.
Yes, because it's the internet. Everything has to be shorter. And we encourage people to keep their phones on during the show.
And we do some very shallow research prior to the show.
It's skim reading at
so
best.
When we get asked questions, we very often don't
we
have
no
answer.
Idea.
We do, but
because none of us are biologists for a start.
Which is exactly why we have guest scientists. We have a guest scientist every show. We have a guest comedian. And we had a guest scientist this time who was talking about scurvy, which is one of those classic five-a-day vitamin C important things. Took them years to find what was causing scurvy and how to cure it. And because
not urine.
Not urine does not work. Urine does not
they
work.
They checked thoroughly, apparently.
They really did a lot of double-blind tests, and you had to be double-blind to do those tests. And we decided to make our theme a little bit piratical.
So when people ask questions during the show, we like them to get involved with the theme.
But if you want to ask a question, you have to have the pirate patch on, you have to put your hand up, and you have to say, "Arr." But you have to say it with a questioning inflection. So can we try that on three? This is going to be my favourite bit, I think. 1, 2, 3. Arr.
He's going, look, we won't do it on stage. We'll just get them to do it from scratch, and you did not disappoint.
So I'm going to start with a song. I normally do a song in these things. And this is a song, it's a bit of a medical song, but it's a song about a man who was very bad for me, and I'm hoping that none of you have had this experience, but you may have done, and I'm sad if you have, but we're all sharing tonight. I knock on the door, he says, "Come on in, tell me about this mess you're in. Stand up, turn around, take off your clothes, lie on the couch. Nobody knows that you're here." Why do I let you do this to me? Why do I come back every single week? Why do you have no medical qualifications on the wall of your consulting room like a normal doctor? Broke her with my spine, made a noise like a dustbin lid. I want you to double math.
Wrong crowd.
As you may have heard, that involved a ukulele, and so it was, of course, Helen Arney.
Thank you very much.
One of the big things in the show we had a lot of questions about, and frankly I would like to hear more on, was from Steve's top 10 most mega awesome, according to him, medical things. That was the level of rigor involved.
I had a list of top 10 medical things, brackets, that I found on the internet the night before. Close brackets. And one of them was these spectacles invented by Joss Silver. They're very, very cheap to make, and you send them out to third world countries. And instead of a glass lens where you would normally find one, there are two sheets of plastic. And there are syringes attached, filled with water, and you push water in between these two sheets of plastic until they're convex enough for you to be able to see. Mm-hmm. And so it's instant prescription glasses, and the wearer does it themselves, so you know, you don't have to send doctors out or anything like that, or opticians. So it's a very cheap way of getting sight to poor people in poor parts of the world. Absolutely incredible invention.
But on the night, we did have a question. That question was, those glasses will obviously only work convex, which only fixes people who are long-sighted.
That's right.
So what about people who are short-sighted?
So I speculated at the time.
speculated.
Good. That was genuinely deliberate. I speculated that in that situation you would have two sheets of plastic that are already separated and parallel, filled with water. And so you would then draw water out to make a concave lens, and that would fix short-sightedness. But it was just speculation. I've checked, and that is actually how they do it.
So the moral of the story is you guessed and you were correct.
Yeah, make stuff up. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, but why didn't you make it up like 10 years ago and make loads of money about it?
Could have been rich.
Curses, but instead you're here with the Festival of the Spoken Nerd Extra Time for Questions podcast.
But we do like to celebrate things, and that was a sort of a celebration of cool medical kit. But very occasionally we get a bit ranty about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we try and remain upbeat, but while we were talking about placebos, I thought this might be a chance to indulge in a rant about homeopathy. And so these guys were very kindly let me have the floor to complain about homeopaths.
Well, I would just very, very quickly... Yes. Is it a question?
Do you have lawyers?
Have I got...
Liars!
Yes, what, are you a lawyer?
No.
You can't see what he's doing. He hasn't got to hand an eye patch or a hook. So he's mumming both every time. Or I've just made fun of someone with a disfigurement. The room can turn on these things. If I had, he's got really cruel friends. So I thought what I would do is very, very... Oh, I have got this legally checked. I don't want this to go all Simon Singh on me. I'm going to very, very briefly, very, very quickly and concisely, because it's more potent that way. That's not the last time we should do it again. I'm going to very quickly go through my homeopathy. This is slightly self-indulgent. I do apologise about talking about placebos, because I am a big fan of placebos. I think they're very effective. I get a little emotional, though, about homeopathy for two reasons. Partly, it's very missold. If you go into Boots, they sell homeopathic remedies, and they give no indication that there's no active ingredients involved. And they're little charts. And I actually went in there. I bought a vial of arnica in homeopathic... He's talking one bit and 60th together. Okay, so you buy arnica, and it actually says in Boots it's good for bruises and swelling, and it's good for first aid kits. And I got the bottle of arnica. I had a look through it, and there's no mention of the ingredients. But I bought this on file because it said it's only 6.1 pence per pill, so it's a very cost effective medical solution. But when you look into how they make it. What they do is they take the active ingredient, which in this case arnica, and they dilute that one part in 100. So they get one part of arnica and put it into 190, not like they care. 100, right? And then they mix it in, so it's a 1 in 100 dilution, and then take one drop of that and put it into another 1 in 100. So now it's a 1 in 10,000 dilution, give that a good mix. And they take one bit of that into another 1 in 100. So now it's 1. Well, it goes up by 2 orders of magnitude every time. They do that 30 times. The final solution is one part arnica for every 10 to the 60 parts water, right? That is, in maths we call that a mind-bogglingly big number, right? That is just, it's for every molecule of arnica that you start with, each molecule of arnica is shared between 7 million billion 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 pills. One molecule for every 7 million billion. So if you have a pill of homeopathic arnica, you've only got a 1 in a 7 million billion 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 chance of getting a single molecule of the stuff. Right? And to be honest, to buy all those pills, it becomes very... It's not as cost-effective. It's actually... I checked into this. There is not... You couldn't buy a single homeopathic molecule of arnica from Boots if you had the entire gross domestic product of the UK. If you had the entire gross domestic product of the world, since the dawn of civilization, you still couldn't afford a single molecule from Boots. If you had all money that's ever existed, you still couldn't afford it. And even if you could afford it, how would you eat them all?
Three very short songs, so this one is a love song for anyone who works in the agricultural industry.
Was a trio of songs that I had written for this show.
What?
It's not a rigorous definition of trio, is it?
The observant among you will notice that there were only two songs there. That is because I hadn't quite finished one of the songs, but I will do it at the end of this podcast once I've actually
We believe in closure.
Yeah. The trio will be completed. The triptych will be final by the end of this podcast. But I wanted to mention we've been tweeted both a question and an answer.
That's the level of efficiency we like.
Yep. We just leave our audience to it, and we don't have to.
They don't actually need us, but we do appreciate you being there. Thanks, guys. So Charlie Red has tweeted us with both a question and an answer, which was today, it's the 16th of September, Google has an orange, a little montage of oranges on the top of the search function. And the question was, why is that? And then she answered it straight away, which is that it is the, I think it's the birthday... Yep, birthday of Albert von Gentgjugi. I have no idea whether that's pronounced correctly, who won the Nobel Prize for Physiology in 1937 and is credited with discovering vitamin C.
There you go. See, it's all justified now. In fact, one thing we tried on the night in looking at happiness was a way to measure happiness, and I found it. I mean, I love the way you come up with different metrics to measure slightly less tangible things. And so I tried to use the wisdom of the crowd to come up with an equation to measure a country's happiness. However, it was both more chaotic and more sex-obsessed than I was hoping.
They'd been drinking.
Yeah.
They had been drinking and later on sexing.
We were hoping to present this to the government. I think we, you know, in the end.
We wouldn't do like a, yeah, drop a white paper on this. But
yeah.
No, it'd just be, yeah.
No chance.
What would I, how would you measure the population of the happiness of a population? What? How often do you get it? Would that be average frequency? Would that be total number? So that's the total number of discrete sexy times divided by the population to get average.
You need to be frequency and quality of, otherwise.
Frequency and quality. Yes. Would that be frequency times quality or to the power of quality? Power of quality. Okay, frequency. Come on, boy. Frequency of sexy time. We're going to do a dimensional analysis at the end to make sure it all checks out. To the power of quality.
Okay.
How would you on a scale? Do you get a scale?
Quality, and that's
would it be like a score from 0 to 10?
Yeah.
But that, so the year of recognition from over here. I keep cards in the bedroom. I'm quite ready.
Right, so that did not end up with a great equation. So since then, I've done further reading into this idea of gross national happiness, GNH, and it started in a small country, in Bhutan, that's a place,
mm-hmm.
And the king of Bhutan in the 70s thought, you know what, it's not just gross domestic product, even though that is a nice, easy thing to calculate. It's how happy the people are, and they tried to come up with a way to measure how happy the citizens were. And I've got a list here of all the different things that they tried to measure. Everything, a lot of things that ends in the word wellness. Which for me is synonymous with vague.
Yeah.
So economic wellness, physical wellness, workplace wellness. And a lot of it involved surveying people. To see how happy they were in their job and how happy they were with the government. And so political wellness was things like the quality of the local democracy, how free people found. And actually, there's been research that there's quite a high correlation between how free people feel and how good they think the government is, subjectively, to how happy they are.
Ah.
And also, they tried to look for stats that they could use. And so they looked at the number of workplace lawsuits that were brought, the number of the divorce rates, the level of severe illnesses.
Did they have? Was there any sense of counting how many people? So, for example, if they could work out that actually, if we could reduce our population down to just 100 people, and they'd all be blissfully happy, would they imagine that's a good thing to do, or would they rather have 1 million people that are 10%
sufficiently happy? Yeah, well, I think a bit like gross domestic product is an absolute, you can then look at per capita. And so I guess you want happiness per person, but you want to look at the distribution. You don't want a very high standard deviation in happiness, right? You want everyone to be very happy, not lots of people bloody ecstatic and then lots of other melancholic people. And Canada has picked up on this.
Yeah, but this is interesting because in the same way that gross domestic product financially, that doesn't show anything to do with the poverty gap.
No.
You can have extremely rich and extremely poor people at each end of the scale, and it will still come out as another same as another country with with a middling average financial well-being, and the same, I assume, with wellness.
That's why whenever I see a statistic, I shout, but what is the standard deviation? You can't, nothing he can does. Be summarized. I do.
Yeah.
As one statistic, you need the statistic, and then you need the spread, and that's where you're at.
I mean, with gross domestic product, of course, it's always a positive number. You can have a negative gross national happiness, right?
Mm-hmm. Gross national pissed offness.
Yeah, you can actually be in debt.
That's you can, yes, you're right. If you're exporting more happiness than importing. that's a whole different tourist trade.
If you're in a factory making tiny little toys and making...
You are exporting Western joy. but the thing about gross domestic product is because it's so easy to define, you can compare countries.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas as happiness, it's a bit cultural. I mean, these guys, it was very... it was like a Buddhist basis for the first gross national happiness. And when Canada took it over, they had to change the cultural basis. And you very quickly find that you can't compare country to country.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was, what they were looking trying to do in Bhutan was each country would only be comparing against itself
mm-hmm.
in a way to check and to improve levels of happiness. My concern with this is it's a bit like when we have things in the NHS where we're trying to make sure hospitals are meeting certain targets. You're just encouraging people to game the system. And any way you define happiness, the governments can define it in a way that, that suits what they want to do. And also you end up just gaming particular things you're trying to measure.
And so, might you just end up putting everyone on crack?
Exactly, yes. And so yeah, there are shortcuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a problem, isn't it?
It's true, yes. Because if you're dividing by time not ecstatic, then crack would send your happiness to infinity. And you don't want that.
Prozac in the water. Don't bother about that calcium.
Yeah, so I think it's an interesting idea, and I like the concept, and I think it's a good discussion, but I believe implementing it would be nigh on impossible to do in a constructive way. Mm. What a happy ending to that.
We should probably end on a song in that case.
The song will fix it.
I can do something about that.
Musical coefficient, we call it.
I finished my song about a news article I saw the other week about the man with who's the first person to be given a plastic heart in the United Kingdom and to be sent home with it. First time someone has...
Everyone else had to leave it at the hospital with really long tubes.
Really long tubes. I saw this and I thought it was fantastic, so I wanted to write a song about it. I'm very happy with my new plastic heart. Exactly the same as a human heart. But then I left my wife for a bag for life, and I'm very happy with my new polyurethane lover and my plastic heart.
So that was the very first ever Festival of the Spoken Nerd podcast.
Thank you very much for listening. We hope it has been one of your five a day.
Yes, if you've enjoyed listening to the podcast, and frankly, if you're still listening at this point, you must have, or you're very committed to listening to things all the way through, please do tell your friends or befriend people and then tell them about the podcast and our up-and-coming live shows.
We've got loads of London shows coming up in the next few months, so check out the website festivalofthespokennerd.com.
We're doing Shakespeare's Globe, which I'm very excited about.
That's awesome. And we do have our regular shows at the New Red Lion as well. The next one in October is sold out, but there's still tickets for November.
Hold on a second.
Just to rub it in.
Oh, yes, rub it in.
And in December with Alex Horn as well. So hot off the press, though.
Very, very excited. We're doing a show in New York. We're admittedly off Broadway, but we're near Broadway, and that's on the 3rd of October. Yep. And we're not exact details will be out online very, very soon.
At festivalofthespokennerd.com. So the last thing we need to do is to say thank you to our podcast producer, Elizabeth Hawke. Thank you, Elizabeth. And to say goodbye from us, I've been Helen Arney.
I'm Matt Parker.
And I'm Steve Mould.
See you next time.
There's no more time. Extra time for questions podcast.